tomorrow marks the 25th anniversary of the release of the landmark Royal Commission report on Aboriginal deaths in custody. The report made 339 recommendations, many of which were aimed at reducing the level of Indigenous incarceration. But fast forward to today, and Indigenous people now make up 27% of the prison population, compared to 14% when the report came out. That's right. There are now more Aboriginal people in jail than when this report came out. It's almost unbelievable. And Indigenous Australians continue to die in jail at alarming rates. Des Rogers is the Director of Operations at Aboriginal Housing in Victoria. He's a Arunda man who's part of a national campaign to cut Indigenous prison rates and save lives. Des, many thanks for your time. You spent time in jail as a teenager in the 70s, I understand, including a stint in maximum security prison.
Yep.
What happened?
Well, I guess I should start off by saying that I very easily could have been an Aboriginal death in custody myself. I guess I'm lucky. So in the early 70s, a mate of mine and myself got into trouble in Alice Springs, where I come from. We broke into a couple of stores, loaded stuff into a couple of delivery vans and drove off. We also broke into a couple of petrol stations and stole money and food. The police decided to charge us with every break and enter and every illegal use of a vehicle over the last 12 months in Alice Springs. They were happy. I was sentenced to 4 years in Alice Springs. After about 3 months in the Alice Springs prison, I thought I'd escape, and I did escape. I broke into a canteen, school canteen, stole some soft drinks and food, and they caught me the next day. And then the judge made an example of me. He added another 30 months to my sentence. I went back to prison. The superintendent wasn't happy. He also made an example of me, put me in solitary confinement for 14 days. The prison guards were not happy, so they decided to make an example of me as well. They bashed me and kicked me and all sorts of things. And then they decided they'd send me to Yatala, which is a maximum security prison in South Australia. And I spent the next 4.5 years there, released about the middle of 74, and went back home to Alice Springs.
And then managed, given you're here now with me talking about these issues, to really turn your life around. You've established a business, you've held senior positions in government and Indigenous organisations. What stopped you from taking a path that has led so many others to really tragic outcomes?
Well, I think for me, coming from remote Australia, Alice Springs, and being locked up, as you were in those days, in a cell that was probably 1.5 metres by 3 metres, 18 hours a day, 7 days a week, gives you one thing, gives you plenty of time to think. And I thought, there's no way I'm ever going to go back to prison. There's no way I'm going to get in trouble with the law. And I haven't. I mean, you go to prison for punishment and rehabilitation. Prison didn't rehabilitate me. I rehabilitated myself. So, you know, I got out of prison 42 years ago.
Pat Dodson, who was one of the commissioners who wrote the report in 1991, and he's really about to become a Labor senator as that amazing turnaround happened very recently.
Yep.
He said this week that he was staggered that things had gone backwards since then, and I think we're all staggered. I mean, you can't not be staggered at those statistics. Do you share that view? And if so, what do you think's gone wrong to make the situation worse?
Well, I think there's a lot of things gone wrong, and I certainly agree with Mick. Mick was a young lawyer from memory. They came to Alice Springs in 87, and this is a number of years after I got out of prison, obviously, and I was still scared, and I watched from afar, so to speak. But over time, I became agitated, I became vocal, I certainly became cynical, and I entered the rhetoric about the 339 recommendations and the lack of both federal and state and territory governments in pursuing change. And you're dead right. I mean, 25 years later, incarceration rates have gone through the roof. Racism is still there. Aboriginal people being disenfranchised from the whole system. I mean, it's just absolutely appalling.
It's appalling, and it's also very hard to get your head around. And what I mean by that is it's so bad, it's got worse. you know, if you're just somebody who has a social conscience and wants to live in a country where there is reconciliation and this sort of stuff stops, you don't know where to start. You're part of a campaign called Change the Record, which aims to close the incarceration gap between Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australians by 2040. It's an ambitious idea, given there's not really a lot of political buy-in at this stage.
No, that's right, and I'm fortunate. As, you know, as I said, when I got released from prison, I went back to school. I went to uni. I've held some really good positions, as you've said. And I want to. I tell my story because I'm hopeful that some, particularly young Indigenous people, will listen to what I say, and hopefully give a bit of hope. You know, but people can't survive on hope. You've actually got to have, for example, a safe and secure place to live. And then you've got some options, or you've got opportunity to take up some options. If you're homeless, if you're living on the street, if you're being ignored by everyone, then your options are very limited. So, you know, like I look at the recommendation 62, where it talked about Aboriginal young people in the juvenile justice system, and it said that it would have disastrous repercussions if nothing was done. Well, here's an example. 25 years later, virtually nothing was done, and we've doubled the incarceration rates, as you pointed out, Catherine.
Well, Des, how do you manage it? I mean, you're in a situation where you're fighting for this cause, which is a difficult one because we're going backwards. So how do you keep fighting for this?
Well, I think one thing all blackfellas are is resilient, you know. And, I mean, we could have a debate about resilience, but I think Aboriginal people are born resilient, and you have to be, you know. I mean, I learnt to duck and weave when I was a young fella, and the last thing I'm going to do is curl up in the fetal position and cry and die, so to speak. I want to stand up and I want to make change. And I guess certainly being in the position I am with Aboriginal Housing Victoria, I've got a great opportunity to change people's lives, to give people options, and we're doing that. And I think it's, you know, it's wonderful. And it's not just me, don't get me wrong, I'm not the martyr with all this. But it's an organisation, Aboriginal Housing Victoria, that does have a social concern about it. We're not just a housing provider. We're not just a landlord. We're much more than that. And I think some of the things, you know, also in the out of the 339 recommendations, they talked about building the capacity of Aboriginal people to actually sustain themselves in housing. That certainly hasn't been done. They haven't given organisations, once again, such as us, the ability to try and sustain our tenants in their tenancies. And we've got over 4,000 people. We've got just over 1,500 properties spread across the state of Victoria. And yet we get ignored. But, you know, we're fortunate in the sense, particularly with what I'm talking about currently, like a life skills program, that the board internally approved this and internally funded it. And, you know, that's a great thing.
Des, many thanks for coming in.
Okay.
That's Des Rogers. He's the Director of Operations for Aboriginal Housing Victoria. And I've got to say, before we started speaking on mic, I said to Des, we're in basically a federal election campaign, and Indigenous issues are really badly covered in federal election campaigns. I've watched many, and you basically don't hear about Indigenous people during election campaigns. Well, on RN Drive, we're going to turn that around. And we're going to make Indigenous people a priority, and you'll hear a lot more of these stories coming up.